It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hello, friends. Matt Douglas from High Country Roses is with us today to talk about some of the newer roses on the market that he thinks are standouts. So, hey, Matt, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa, for having me back. I really appreciate it. It's been a little while and a lot of crazy things in the world, but we can always come back to the garden and there's always good things to chat about.
So true. You know, it has been a little while since we talked, but the last time you were here, we talked about damask roses. And I can tell you that show continues to be very popular. So the information on the podcast is as timeless as the roses themselves.
Well, there we go. Well, this time I think we're going to talk about some newer things.
Yes, absolutely. But before we dive into the roses, tell our listeners a little bit about High Country Roses and how they can find you.
Oh, you bet. So High Country Roses was started in 1970 by my stepfather, Dr. William Campbell. He was just a scientific guy that loved roses and kind of jumped in with both feet, started the business by kind of trading plants with friends. And then it became a little bit more of a commercial operation. And I kind of came on the scene as a teenager and it's gone through a few iterations. My stepsister ran it for years in Utah. And the last 11 years, we've been back in Colorado and have just seen a lot of growth and a lot of people excited about roses. And we specialize in really roses and varieties that do well in kind of the high country, as our name would indicate. But certainly an eye on hardy plants, healthy plants, and everything's on its own route.
Well, I am not in the high country. I am right smack dab in the Midwest, zone 5B. But many of my roses have come from High Country Roses, and they're doing great.
Well, we are always glad to hear that.
It's true. I love my High Country Roses. Now, as a nursery owner, you see just about everything in the rose world. And with so many on the market, help us pare them down. So we want to know, of all these new roses being released, what are a few of the standouts that have caught your attention?
Yeah, you know, over the past couple of years, some great, great plants have hit the market and just stuff that we get excited about and, you know, varieties that fill holes in the market and, just things that I think a lot of gardeners, a lot of rose lovers are going to be excited about. So we have a great relationship with Weeks Roses. I was on the line with Christian Bedard here just a couple of days ago and just thinking about some of the things they have in the pipeline. And I just love their plants. They just do such a great job. With just sort of the plant itself is always healthy. The foliage is always nice and shiny and presents well, just great stuff. So there's just been a few roses from them over the past couple of years that I've just really, really been excited about. And probably at the top of that list is a rose called Golden Opportunity, which is a yellow, fragrant climbing rose. And I don't know how much you've looked for fragrant yellow climbing roses, but outside of a few of the older varieties, it's kind of been a big hole in the market, and so this variety in particular has just been such a great introduction. You know, it's just a very prolific plant, grows about 10 feet tall. You know, it'll cover an arbor. It'll, you know, go up a trellis, you know, fences. This one has got such great parentage to it. It's a rose that's been bred from Autumn Sunset and Julia Child. So that just kind of gives you an idea, you know, think of the great, you know, the fragrance and intense yellow of a Julia Child, and then the vigor of, you know, a rose like Autumn Sunset, and kind of bring those two things together. It's really been a fantastic rose.
From the first time I saw the picture of this rose, which was a little while back, it is shockingly beautiful. The pictures are shockingly beautiful. And I want it so badly. I so far have not found a place that I can put another climber. So I've got several. But when I do, that is at the top of my list.
Well, I'll come over and find a spot for you. I'm sure I can always find a spot for a rose.
Well, yeah, there's still some grass out there for sure. But, you know, I have Mr. G looking at me like, ooh, I like being on my tractor. I like my grass.
If it, less is more in the grass department, but that's just one man's opinion.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, another one, another introduction from this year that has been great is the Rose Belinda's Blush. And, you know, we don't see a lot of kind of medium to large shrubs hit the market. It's not a super common thing, but Belinda's Blush came to us this year. It's a sport of Belinda's Dream that was discovered by Mike Shoup of Antique Rose Emporium. And talk about a guy that's got a good eye for roses. you know, it's a plant that kind of has, it's got a creamy pink bloom as opposed to kind of the medium pink of a Belinda's Dream. And it's got some really interesting and intricate yellow undertones. You know, it's got the same big bloom. You know, it's probably 4 to 5 inches, probably bigger for you, Teresa. You know, and it's just a rose that, you know, will grow in tougher climates. You know, Belinda's Dream has certainly been part of the Earthkind trials, and I think Belinda's Blush exhibits a lot of the same characteristics. You know, it's really a plant that's kind of exceeded my expectations. You know, I always am excited for plants that do well in tough spots. So I had high hopes for it, and it has certainly gone beyond those high hopes. It's really a neat dynamic. You know, you get the added bonus of really limited thorns on that plant, which is always great. You'd be shocked how many little dogs I have to worry about getting into the thorny roses.
It was so nice to have one like that that's beautiful, but you can have it close to a sidewalk or a walkway of some kind. I'm a huge fan of Belinda's Dream and the pictures of Belinda's Blush. I don't have that one yet, but it is on my list. It is just yummy looking. It is that softer color, very, very pretty.
It is just very, very rich color, healthy foliage. I mean, the plant will get 4 to 6 feet tall. So it is something that you got to kind of plan for, but make a plan for it. So one of the things we're always asked about is what are the most fragrant roses? And, you know, we always have good answers for that, but sometimes we have really good answers. And so the Rose Perfume Factory is checking that box right at the moment. So I have to tell you, Teresa, I was excited about this rose because I'm always, you know, I think that fragrance is something everybody's looking for. And so we got our cutting material for Perfume Factory here last year. And, you know, when it's sent to us, it's bundled in these stems that are all at bloom. So it's, you know, imagine maybe not quite florist quality, but you're unwrapping a bundle of maybe 200 blooms. And we opened the box, and I am not kidding you, for like a 20-foot radius, everybody is like, what is that scent? And granted, we had probably 200 blooms in there, so it was pretty intense. But definitely, this rose delivers in the fragrance category. It's a healthy own root hybrid tea. The blooms are kind of a really vivid purple plum color. It's got a little bit of a hint of white on the edge. You know, true to Weeks's breeding program, it's very disease resistant and strong grower. But man alive, is that rose really got a strong fragrance to it. And it can it loves the sun. So it holds up in you know, with a little bit darker color, with the strong fragrance in full sun. It's a great addition.
Well, I can speak to this one a little bit, as I have one. It's in a container on right by a walkway. And this morning I went out and I thought, oh, I know who's in bloom. And I picked one, not 200 like you were talking about, but I have one on my desk right now. And it changed, one bloom of this rose will change a room.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it totally. It's really been a great one. I'm impressed with that one all the way around.
Well, the color, I looked online, and sometimes the color shows up not as beautiful as it is. It is a rich, beautiful color. I thought you described it well when you said vivid purple plum blend, and it is. You know, sometimes I take a picture of it, and it is kind of, it's dark, so leans to red, but there's no red here. It's a beautiful addition to the garden for sure.
Yeah, it is just an interesting blended color. It is a little bit hard to describe, but boy, it's beautiful.
Yep, I'm very, very happy with it. So what else?
Well, we've got, so I get excited about roses. We work with star roses on a lot of the Cortez and Meland varieties that we bring in. And so at Star, there's a man named Dave Shanklin, and that guy gets more excited than I do about roses. So I was on the phone with him the other day, getting all my notes squared away for some of their new introductions this year, and man, he's got me excited. You know, top of the list this year is a Meland hybrid tea called Enchanted Peace, and I am always a little wary when we have a, you know, quote unquote improvement on an old classic. But I've had lots of, well, Dave assured me, and then I just happened to see one growing in one of our customers down in Colorado Springs yard last week. And I have to tell you, the reviews are accurate. It is a great, great plant. So Enchanted Peace has got some, it's got an interesting bloom. It's going to be about the same petal count as Peace. The coloring is a little more layered though. It's kind of a yellow orange pink kind of layering to it. The plant seems very, very vigorous. And well, Dave called it a fat habit. I'm going to just call it a wide habit. So it'll get about 4 feet wide when it's full size. So one of the other nice things about it in really making an improvement on Peace is A, it's grown a little better on its own roots, which has always been a challenge with Peace Rose. It was a lot better on its own roots, we should say. And it's a little hardier too. So, you know, we're opening up listing it as a zone 5 plant. You know, it could very well be even a little hardier than that. But we shall see. But great. It's a great, great addition.
Wonderful. The pictures of that are very beautiful too. And I believe I'm going to have to check with, there's some members in our Rose Society that I believe are growing Enchanted Peace. So I'm going to have to take a look.
It's pretty, that's for sure. The one we had down here in Colorado Springs was I think it was about a year and a half old, and it was vigorous. It was looking like it had been in the yard for a few years, and the blooms were as advertised.
Wonderful.
So the next one from them is a Cortez plant. We've had just great success with their veranda collection, which is some smaller Floribunda roses. Great for containers and edges and, kind of low hedge. So they're introducing a rose this year called Fiesta Veranda, and it's kind of the first sort of multicolored, layered colored member of that group of roses. So it's kind of double blooms of brilliant orange and yellow. Really should kind of fill out those little spots that are sometimes tricky, whether it's in a container or even on just sort of the edge of the garden. Just brings kind of a pop of color. And with all the veranda roses we've really seen, they are blooming machines. So I think that one is going to be right in line with its brothers and sisters and be a great addition to that offering.
I think it's well named as I look at the picture. It's very exciting and very pretty. I have white veranda, and I can speak to that one being an excellent rose. It's a large, healthy shrub in my garden, hardly without a bloom. I mean, it just blooms all summer. Sweetest little buds ever.
Yeah.
And, and it is very healthy. So
clean too. It's really clean shrub. I've been impressed with that one too. So
yeah, very nice.
Well, this one I have to mention, it's one we introduced this year, and I was excited, but maybe not like, on the edge of my seat excited. But after the first year of growing it, I am on the edge of my seat excited. So it's that good. The rose is called Sunset Horizon, and it's an upright shrub from Mieland. It's an interesting bloomer. So generally we kind of see some of the darker colors fade a bit. This one blooms yellow and really fades to more of a deep pink or almost even a red color. It reminds me in habit a little bit of like a Morden sunrise, which is kind of that's kind of the holy grail of roses there. So, it's definitely got potential to be an outstanding addition. It was covered in the greenhouse in blooms just from March 1st until the last one left in June. Wow. It was just covered, and it's got outstanding disease resistance, and the plant itself is hardy, hardy zone 4. So I think that's going to be a great kind of landscape shrub for gardens all over the country.
Well, and it's a smaller one. Some of the ones we've talked about are large plants, but this one's smaller, so it's going to fit into anyone's garden.
Anyone and everyone's garden. It'd be perfect.
Great. I love it.
So, and the last one from them that I'm kind of stumbling onto, sometimes we just jump in right off the bat. Sometimes we're a little bit behind. This is a rose that I just have had more recommendations and like, why aren't you growing this? Or you really need to grow this. And the rose is Mother of Pearl. So we're bringing that to our, as an introduction for us this year. But it's been around a few years, and I know you grow this rose, and you seem to have had lots and lots of luck with it.
I have 8 of them. I just, each year I buy a few more. I mean, it's just beautiful. The color blends so well with everything in the garden. It just gives a soft vibe, but it's fully there. Good coloring, the buds. It's healthy. It's easy to keep healthy. I mean, it's just a good rose. And I have it. It's planted with other, you know, mine's a cottage garden, so it's planted in and around all kinds of things, nestling right up to it. So we see very little black spot on this one. It's just a beauty. And there's fragrance. It's not like, you know, it's not Perfume Factory, but it does have fragrance and some parts of the day more than others. But it stays on the shrub a long time. And now that the Japanese beetles are gone, of course, but even the Japanese beetles shied away from this one, you know, I don't know, intimidated by its beauty, I suppose, but anyway, maybe, but it just works well. It's a good blend plant. It's great. I love it.
Well, you know, I always say take note when somebody has more than one of the plants. And, you know, if you've got eight, that's a pretty solid endorsement. So, you know, I've just heard such great things. I've heard, I don't know if you've taken it to the rose show or not, but I've heard it's a good rose at the show. And, you know, we've heard great things of it growing well in the South, which is not always the easiest thing for plants. So, and you're right. Just that light salmon color is it's a beautiful plant. I'm excited to get them in and just get one in my yard and see how it does here in Colorado. But obviously we don't have quite the black spot issues, but it is black spot resistant. I've heard it's one of the best in that regard.
It is. It definitely is. That's true.
All right. Well, we'll get everybody growing that one then.
Yes, you'll love it.
So the final two that I want to talk to you about are a couple of roses we're introducing from Robert Ripiteau. I don't know. Do you know Robert Ripiteau?
I first saw his roses at the Biltmore International Rose Trial a few years back, where Miracle on the Hudson was a huge winner. And it's a winner in my garden, too. Yeah, I have a couple of those. Fantastic. And it's a big shrub. It is just a big blooming shrub. And it has a velvet quality to the leaf, kind of a maroon red, just a velvety look. And, I mean, it is definitely a great shrub for a mixed border. Just outstanding. So that's my introduction to him. So what have you got to talk
about?
Yeah,
you know, he and I kind of met via a dead Winnipeg Parks rose a few years ago that we replaced for him. And he and I just started talking and, you know, I learned a little bit more about what he was doing and he got a little more comfortable with us. And so we've just kind of struck up a friendship and relationship, and he's sent us a few roses to kind of test and appraise. And I have to say, I was quite impressed. So he has really been looking to release some of the miniature roses that he's been growing. And, you know, as you know, minis are just kind of, you know, they're getting harder and harder to find. Interesting miniature roses, certainly. You know, roses for show, you know, definitely are a little bit tougher to find. So we're excited. We're excited to get a few more miniatures, and I think he's going to be a great source for it. He is a diligent breeder for sure. I mean, you know, exacting records and intentional crosses and just doing some great stuff. So of the plants he sent me, he sent one that just immediately jumped out, and we're going to call it Orchid Kisses. It's a mauve purple miniature that's got an upright habit and will climb a little bit. So the blooms are just packed with petals. So, I mean, probably 45 to 50 petals per. Just a really nice depth of color to the bloom. It's got some vivid yellow stamens in the center that really pop. you know, I just, you know, sometimes it's just obvious. And with this one, it was just obvious that it was going to be a great rose. You know, we're looking at this being a pretty hardy plant too. We're going to start it off listing it as a zone 5 plant, but honestly, maybe more just kind of the suspicion with some of the parentage on the plant that it may be as much as like a zone 4 hardy. So again, just, you know, a rose that kind of fits. I'm just ecstatic to have it. So, and along with it, we're going to introduce, a rose called Qué Lindo. And I had to say that correctly. My daughter coached me. She is a Spanish student extraordinaire. So Qué Lindo or Lindo. And it's another miniature, a smaller, more compact miniature. I wrote down that it's adorable, but you know, hey, miniatures, that kind of goes with the territory. It blooms in clusters, and the blooms are just this beautiful, vivid pink, with just a hint of white piping in it. But what really drew me out on this plant was just the amazing foliage on it. It's just a rich, rich, deep green foliage. The plant's just healthy. Haven't had a troubled day in the greenhouse. I'm assuming it'll translate into your yard. But just both of those plants, you know, are exciting introductions. We're just very, very happy to have a couple of new things in the miniature department.
I agree. Miniatures are harder to find, and they are so sweet in the garden. I've tried a few. Some of them just were black spot magnets. So I'm trusting that we might just have an answer here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, that's definitely one of the things that Robert has his eye on is disease resistance, and his crosses have definitely proven, at least in the greenhouse, which I always say the greenhouse is one of the toughest places or one of the best places to determine, you know, fungal resistance and things like that. It's, you know, we're on top of it. But boy, let me tell you, if there's a spore and it's susceptible, it's going to get it. So, you know, both of these plants have been just extremely clean in the greenhouse, and just pleased.
Well, that sounds great. All of these, this is exciting. So fun to talk about all of these wonderful roses. And, you know, it's time to start making your list. And if you're going to be doing some fall planting, or even if you're going to be buying over the winter for spring, this is like a perfect time to get all jazzed up about them.
That's for sure. I should say too, we're going to have all of the new varieties are on the website, our website, which is www.highcountryroses.com. They will not be available. The new ones won't be available to purchase though until right around the first of the year. We have to kind of finish out our shipping here for the fall, and then you can certainly set a notification on there to be alerted when they're back in stock or ready to go for spring next year. But they'll be ready, and we're excited for a big 2022 this year.
Oh, sounds so good. And I love that feature on your site. Your website's excellent, by the way. I love that feature on your site where you let us know when they're back.
Well, that we do. And we used to do a detailed waiting list, and that was just a problem for both people waiting and people trying to determine who was waiting. So it's been a good solution, and I think a lot of people have enjoyed it that way. So,
yep, it's excellent. Now, I understand that you're working on something new, a new project to introduce more old garden roses into commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the important things to me and our company is just really trying to protect and kind of reintroduce things into commerce. I'm not a production only kind of nursery where, you know, if we don't sell 100 of them, it's not worth it. We grow in small lots. And so we've really been trying to kind of seek out and kind of get back into commerce a lot of older roses. Actually Robert Ripito, he was instrumental in one too. Just this last year, we had a customer that was looking for his rose June Anne, which is kind of an upright growing shrub and not in commerce. We were actually able and given permission to go back into the former homeowner's yard by the current homeowner to take a few cuttings, and we were able to get it going and do a little special propagation for this customer. So, likewise, we've had a lot of people out of the Rose Society that just kind of look at their yard and say, oh my gosh, you really need this and this and this. And so we've been hitting the road this summer. So we've made a few road trips and gotten some great cuttings, and yeah, I'd love to talk to you about it.
Well, let's set a date and we'll have you back and talk about that real soon, because I'm very interested in that. So when you've been growing roses as long as I've been growing roses, you know, you've seen a lot and you've heard about a lot, but you don't see them on the marketplace. And so that just sounds like an outstanding project to me.
Well, the old adage has always been there's 10,000 roses in commerce. I would suggest it's probably not nearly that many. So we'd like to get closer to 10,000.
I like it. Okay, well, we'll have you back real soon to talk about that. Matt, it's been so great chatting today. I appreciate your work so much. You know, as I said before, many of the roses in my garden come from High Country Roses, so you do a really good job.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And we just really appreciate the work that you and Chris and everybody in the Rose Society does for getting the good word of roses out there. And you're just such an asset to our rose growing community. I just really appreciate what you do too.
Thank you so much. Well, friends, I hope today was helpful to hear about all the roses that are catching the attention of the experts who see so many as you make decisions for your garden. So be sure to check out all the roses at highcountryroses.com. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.